Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I've had one too many cigarettes burning up my lungs. Had to taste of one too many lips hanging off my tongue. Oh, oh, oh. Sunday morning getting high, drinking here alone. Thinking up a brand new alibi for not coming home. Oh, oh.
People who, like the founder of the show, recognize they're on a dangerous path and make the difficult adjustment to be an amazing person. Share poems that reveal the duality of our vulnerability and strength. Capture the internal battle of the demon and angel on your shoulders. Deep poetry, thoughtful commentary, and fun chatter. For sinners, saints, and everyone in between. This is Part Sinner, Part Saint on Late Night Poets, which is part of allpoetry.com. And we are a group on the website, but you don't have to be in our group to participate. It's just more fun if you are. So welcome to Part Sinner, Part Saint with me, Afasiana, and Pam Ray. Hi, Pam.
Hey, Fazy. How's it going?
Good. Good to be back.
Awesome. Yes, yes, good to have you back. And Don Donizetti asked in LNP what the name of the song, your intro song, is.
Okay, it's called I'm Not a Saint, and it's by Billy Raphael.
Very cool. I probably knew that at some point, but had forgotten at the next point, so...
That's okay. It's good for us to give credit to the opening song, so I'm glad that it was asked.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. So,
there we go.
What have you been up to?
Oh, just surviving.
Yeah, well, sometimes that's the most important thing to do. And I get that.
Yes.
I totally get that.
I was very excited today because my craniosacral therapist came back from maternity leave. So I was like a super dedicated customer. I don't know if customer is the right word, but patient probably. Seeing her every 2 weeks before, and I found it really, really helped with my health and my mental health. And then she went on mat leave for 2 years, and I've been desperately missing her. And last night I was just in agony, and my husband was like, "Well, you gotta see if Shauna's gonna come back." And I was like, "You're right. I should email her." And she said that she had just started back, but she's in a new business, like in a new location now. So it was so good that I contacted her because she was like, I haven't taken a client yet. Do you want to come today?" And I was like, "Yes."
So I
got in like first. I'm so happy. I feel so much better.
I can imagine.
Small victory.
That is great. Very cool.
Tonight's contest is kind of just some quotes from a friend of mine on the website. So on allpoetry.com, he goes by the name Infinite Destruction. And we were just talking poetry one night, and he kept saying things that I was like, "That should be a prompt. That should be a prompt." I just started writing down things he was saying. So I may have been slightly intoxicated at the time, so I was excited about everything. But anyway, I wrote these down, and he said I could use them. So these are quotes by Infinite Destruction that happened while we were talking about poetry. I'm hoping that he'll call, but he's been working lots, so he might be asleep. We'll see if he wakes up.
Well, that would be great to have him call in, but still understandable if somebody's working a lot, you know, that definitely takes its toll, so, yeah.
It does. I fell asleep, partway through your show last night, I'm sorry. and it was not a reflection on the show. The show was great. I was loving the topic, and then my husband came home, and I stopped for a second to talk to him, and then I was just like, if he's going to bed, I'm going to go to sleep, too.
Oh, I get that. I get that. I had a phone meeting to do with my son, Jaren, you know, and his schooling. And, you know, I just, all of a sudden, it's like I must have dozed off because I woke up to, you know, the person on the other end going, "Is Pam still on? Where is she? Why isn't she talking?"
It happens.
Yeah.
So the first prompt was, "The demon I hate has my heart. The angel I love has left me alone." Which as soon as he said it, he was like, "That's like your show," because part sinner, part saint. So I will accept that as a prompt. This is the first response to that, which is by Daniel Deschino, who is my co-host on Double Helix. "Metal bleeds rusty sunsets before sunrise forgiveness," by Daniel Deschino. "My angels and demons are at war, and I am burning crucifix of holy fire abandoned in sacrificial purgatory. Wilderness of gyrating rusty barbed wire chaos. The barbs slice and cut with artistic, demonic precision. Rusty iron from the blood of the weak before me. Blood of iron. Veins as the rivers of hell that flood my heart. Arteries, once the caress of softness, as youthful spring air now battle hardens, as the walls of a will weaken. I am penetrated with paradise lost. as innocence corrupted and my heart dies. Laughing conquest, relentless impregnation desires, compassionate lost among the powerful penetrators. Hope, born as my arteries burst and rain, rusted blood too tired to coagulate. I lie on naked dirt. Battlefield wire fence, the real victim of war. Iron to rust, rust to dust, dust to horizon caress. Red dust sunset, dissipate to darkness. Peace is death of demons at the hand of my demise. Peace is angels escape in blood-stained earth. Darkness, nothingness, dreamless sleep, time travel. Morning sun, an awakening light of hope and wonderment, as childhood cartoon personification smile. Safe passage. Battlefield in mourning, mourning the battlefield. Angels deny the beast I am. Demons tease it with hunger. Battle of obsoletes. Cancel the equation. Overnight, a tree has grown directly under me. It lifts my head. So I sit up. I have no fear to sacrifice and prostrate for heaven. I have no fear to guard and shield for hell. Let the angels and demons fight. I walk the other way, and the sun rises. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Faizy, and always great to see a write by Daniel. I love the imagery and metaphors in this. The poem as a whole spoke to me on the passing of time and the feeling of the body and mind falling apart. Some of the things that really stood out to me is the mention of rust more than once. Rusty barbed wire chaos, rusty iron from the blood of the weak. Because, you know, rust is such a destructive force on something as strong as metal. And yet it's not something that you think of as, you know, like it's brutal. Like, it is brutal, but it's not something that the action is fast or and powerful. It's more like it takes its time to destroy you to destroy the metal, and so therefore makes a good metaphor for the idea of a slow but steady destruction. I also really like the phrase "I lie on naked dirt." Really just thoughtful lines throughout, and also, let's see, what else? The morning sun, an awakening light of hope and wonderment, is childhood cartoon personification smile, safe passage, battlefield and mourning, mourning the battlefield. What clever wordplay there, having both mourning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, and mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. And the idea that, you know, one moment we find ourselves in the happiness of childhood, and the next thing we know, we're facing those battles of life, whether it's a literal battle because you're a soldier, or it's that battle that each individual faces oftentimes. Just an amazing write all the way through, and very well done.
I like that you pointed out the mourning part. That was the part that struck me as well, the two kinds of mourning there. I liked veins as the rivers of hell that flood my heart. That was neat, the veins as the rivers of hell. There was a little bit here in the middle, kind of near the beginning, I guess, where I was kind of wondering if he was trying to go somewhere, sensual with it, but I don't think that was actually intended. I am penetrated with Paradise Lost, and then it was like impregnation desires, and then powerful penetrators. I was like, ooh, where are you going with this? And then the naked dirt. But then I think those were not intended to be sensual. It just kind of came off that way for me, because I don't know, Freudian issues. but I really liked the ending where it's just like the part where the tree grows under him and lifts his head up, and he like looks around and realizes he doesn't have to be part of the heaven or the hell, and he can just, you know, let that work itself out and walk away and just be in the moment. So I thought that was, it was a really interesting ending to such a like turbulent journey that he goes through at first. And then just knowing when to walk away. I like that. Okay. Our next poem is by Jenny the Deep. Would you read that one for me, Pam?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. All right. Forsaken Soul Resurrected by Jenny the Deep. In catatonic state, death I anticipate. Never considered brave, so I dug my own grave. Flooding my 6-foot hole is damned, forsaken souls. This future was foretold since dark ages of old. From hell with blood I write, laughing below with spite. Watching as the world fights, I get to rest tonight. Like loud booms of thunder, rising temperature boils me asunder. Dear God, I surrender. Give me another chance. Save this wretched outcast. Shed light on my dark past, guiding me back to your path. Resurrected from death, inhaling a new breath, ascending to heaven, in him I live again. End poem.
Thank you, Pam. I thought this had a really nice kind of rhythm to it. The rhymes worked really nicely. Where is it? Lost my spot. I like laughing below with spite, watching as the world fights. I get to rest tonight. There's, you know, when you're down low, sometimes you just laugh and you get a dark sense of humor, and misery loves company a little bit. But then wanting another chance to clean up and save this wretched outcast, shed light on my dark past. I think that she leaned into this really well with the descriptions of the light and the dark, and it went well with the prompt. What were your thoughts?
It did go really well with the prompt. I really like the beginning lines with in catatonic state, death I anticipate, never considered brave, so I dug my own grave. You know, that idea that of digging one's own grave, getting oneself in trouble, but also the thought of dealing with depression and not wanting to face life, not wanting to face the reality of a life. And there was a spiritualness to it, and especially in the idea of wanting to live again, of wanting to find that help to get yourself out of that sense of despair and depression and that need to get away from this life, but rather be able to face it all again. And so I really like, give me another chance, save this wretched outcast, shed light on my dark past, guide me to your path. I thought those were really beautiful and thoughtful lines, and actually really nice for this show. So very well done.
I agree. For that same prompt, we have a poem called Feathers on the Wind by David Philip Ireland. There are high shuttered windows in a chalk white wall, keeping something out or something in. There's a taint of conversation in the sterile air, where once we searched for shooting stars, falling like feathers on the wind. There's a cold metallic sunrise that rises like the dead, driving deep dark chasms in the stones. Heat clouds levitate and melt the nimbus core, and ashes flutter high above the boundary wall, falling like feathers on the wind. There's a bird of prey scratching at the sky, far beyond reach of earthbound man, casting bloody shadows on the smoldering ground, swooping down with murderous claws, scattering flesh and feathers on the wind. Oh, how we dream, wrapped in our chains. Oh, how we pray with unseeing eyes that freedom will carry us like feathers, bright feathers, lifted like feathers on the wind. There are bees in the meadow where the boar run free. There are warriors standing guard in the wastelands of the bones. There's a taste of resurrection where we used to catch the view from the edge of the world, blowing like feathers on the wind. There are remnants of windows in the shell-shocked wall, keeping nothing out and nothing in. There are syllables and melodies wired inside my head, hovering on the edge of the rim, scattering like feathers on the wind. Oh, how we long to break from these chains. Oh, how we praise with unwritten songs, lifting our voices to heaven like feathers, bright feathers, feathers on the wind. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Faisy. And what a brilliant write by David Philip Ireland. This has such a wonderful lyrical quality with the way the word choices flow, and especially with the repetition of the mention of the feathers on the wind, falling like feathers on the wind and scattering flesh and feathers on the wind, lifted like feathers on the wind. You know, there's some things that, like, when the wind moves them, just has such a beautiful sense of movement, like leaves and feathers blowing. Or even like if you look at a flag and you watch a flag blowing in the breeze, the really amazing imagery and metaphors. And I really got from this poem, the main idea I got from this poem was the dreams of freedom that allow us to soar. I really like where he brings nature into this and also the warrior that both serves their country or serves their nation, their people. So where he says, there are bees in the meadow there, where the boar run free. There are warriors standing guard in the wastelands of the bones. There's a taste of resurrection where we used to catch the view from the edge of the world, blowing like feathers in the wind, on the wind. And where we used to catch the view from the edge of the world makes me think of the thought that, you know, distancing oneself from the reality of what's going on in the world only to get a closer look and realize that there is war, there is violence. And, you know, wishing back to that time when we had that innocence and that ignorance, that sense of peace that came with not knowing, that, as they say, ignorance is bliss. But really thoughtful lines throughout and very well done.
This had some really strong imagery and metaphors, and I liked all the animal imagery in it. I don't know if David Philip Ireland knows this, but Infinite Destruction writes a lot about ravens and, like, some of his other identities on social media are, like, raven-related. They all have raven in the name. And it just happens Infinite Destruction is not one of his Raven ones, but the fact that it has, like, the bird feathers going through this and, like, a carnivorous bird with the claws, I feel like Infinite Destruction would really like this one. I got to get his comments on it. The part I really liked, I liked all of it, but a part that stuck with me was there are remnants of windows in a shell-shocked wall keeping nothing out and nothing in. And, shell-shocked is a term often used for post-traumatic stress, especially if it's war-related. And I like the use of that in terms of nothing in and nothing out because, you know, they can't get their past out. They can't necessarily, get that trauma processed if they're stuck in that. But nothing totally comes in either because sometimes they're stuck in the past and the present is not able to be absorbed properly. So I thought that was a really good use of the metaphor being like, it's this, the wall and the window are no longer protection from either side. And that sort of makes me think about how we build walls around ourselves, like metaphorically around our hearts. And when there's been, you know, a battle of sorts, not necessarily a physical battle, but when people have broken those walls, sometimes the walls become a problem where we can't get out of them ourselves. So this is really well done. I enjoy it very much. And I also liked there are syllables and melodies wired inside my head because there are certain things that are sometimes triggers. So if you have post-traumatic stress, sometimes the music from that time or that incident will hit you really bad. And otherwise, sometimes there are certain songs that people find comforting, that it can become your thing that you have in your head all the time, and that's how you cope. When it says there's syllables in the head, maybe that's like you're hearing something someone said that was a key moment in your life, and it sticks with you, and you kind of spiral out hearing that over and over again. So I thought that whole stanza was brilliant. Excellent work. The next one is by Ken Dahl. Can you read that one for me, Pam?
Absolutely. Always, Always by Ken Dahl. We choose these roads we must travel, walking in wisdom and grace, seasoned in salt, pounding the asphalt, trying to beat the gravel, 'cause everyone likes shooting fish in a barrel, while we're walking with God and running with the devil, just waiting for the dust to settle, living somewhere in the middle. Walking steadfast, living our best Sunday. Afterwards, night meets day and light gives way from another predator. We watch him prey. It's so beautifully blind, living under a veil, looking past the homeless ghost living in a nutshell, chasing old wife's tales pointing to heaven or hell. Just another sideshow attraction in a dime museum, waiting on change after we see him. So wicked is my tongue, it's been held with a bridle, 'cause I've been walking with God and running with the devil, just waiting for the dust to settle, living somewhere in the middle. End poem.
Thank you, Pam. I thought this had a really nice cadence to it, especially like when you were saying walking with God and running with the devil. Like, I don't know if it was your read or his writing, but it flowed really nicely. And I like that contrast of walking with God and running with the devil. you know, sometimes people who pretend to be devout and publicly are, you know, walking with God, so to say, have a behind-the-scenes life that is not as as they appear. And then the shooting fish in a barrel is kind of like, you know, cheating and taking advantage of people who don't, who aren't in a situation where they could succeed. And then it has the likes in quotation marks there. So it's like, do you actually like it? Do they, you know, feel like they need to do that to succeed? It also makes me think of like social media likes, like, oh yeah, do that. It's an easy way of participating. Just click like and be that passive supporter of things that are not necessarily good. And I like the repetition of the walking with God and running with the devil. Looking at this, it has won many, many awards. I mean, multiple golds and bronzes and HMs. And it even says in the AN, like, don't give me a win. I've won enough. Just let me participate and share. Wow. That's a popular poem right there. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, definitely well-deserving of those medals, that's for sure. And this does have great rhyme and flow, and there is a wonderful meter to the line, walking with God while, you know, running with the devil, which made me think, of course, of the Van Halen song, Running with the Devil. But it also made me think of, I was listening to this comedian part of his bit was that he was talking about this woman that he goes to church with, that he called her, and, you know, before she even found out who it was, she was like, who the fuck is this, bleep, 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 you know, and why are you calling me bleep, bleep, bleep? And then when he's like, well, this is, you know, brother so-and-so from church. And she's like, oh, praise God. And it's like the way people are, Sunday Christians are, you know, and then the rest of the week, they've got something else going on. I also liked how the mention of the fish in the barrel, which can be used in a cliche way, but I like how it's used here because the rest of the poem really shows how oftentimes that phrase there being used, and then the rest of the poem shows how we really like to take that easy path, and then with from another predator we watch him pray, pray. I thought that is a really powerful line on the how oftentimes those who are become predators are those we expect prayers from, and it's a sad reality of life that there are predators out there that people trust to be their spiritual leaders. So wicked is my tongue, it's been held with a bridle, because I've been walking with God and running with the devil, just waiting for the dust to settle, living somewhere in the middle. And I like that he ends with living somewhere in the middle. It's as if he speaks in the voice of someone who realizes they're not perfect, who realize they're a troubled person. But isn't it better to be a troubled person who realizes their imperfections than someone who puts on a show? So amazing right and very well done.
I agree. That was a great comment, Pam, and I'm really happy that you pointed out the pray part too. I forgot to say that, and wordplay like that is amazing. You can't always tell when it's read out loud, as much as I love to do read-alouds, but those little tricks with homonyms are are really great, and I'm glad that you pointed that out for people who can't see it. Alrighty. Again, for the same prompt, we have one called to forgive and forget, not revenge and regret, by Roger Saturnine. Saturnine. Okay. It says, this poetic story is long verse rhyme, is a read that won't be a waste of time, because there's a reason to this crime, so sit back and dig this here chime in, as found hate screams while lost love dreams. The day finally came, for we haven't seen each other in years. She knows me, and I her, so we end up holding back the tears. An opportunity of sweet surrender, to which neither of us would nor will. I now understand the meaning when one says, if looks could kill. We're finally face to face, moments defined by an uncomfortable silence. Now who dares speak first? But would and could it lead to words of violence? She knows I won't hit her. I raise my hand to men who raise their hands. That part was okay. My driven need to protect, she understands. But me in general, not so much. It went out a door named divorce. I remember the day I got served and stupidly said, of course. Now, if only I knew then what I just know brokenheartedly agreed to. Not seeing my children grow up ended my life just between me and you. That indeed was the absolute worst part. A constantly looped nightmare, knife in hand, and right in my very own heart. I wake up screaming, wet, reach down to take off my vest, needed a dry T-shirt, then I feel the hole in my chest. Am I awake, or hopefully just still dreaming? Love and hate, I hate you, you're both so damn deceiving, but I am alive and awake, it's no dream. I lost my heart and soul. Those were the names of my kids. Home wrecker collections claimed its toll. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm very far from being an angel. But the devil wants payback because she took away my little angels. My blood boils, horns extended, bitch fork in hand. An evil tale grows. The anger in me comes out as vengeful smoke billows from my nose. Let her have it. Time she knew how you really felt. This is no joyride at 100. Undo your safety belt, and if the shit most certainly hits the fan, push her out the car and run her ass over, man. Oh, the thoughts that go through one's heartbroken mind. Here's a well-deserved chance to be cruel or to be kind. Things happen in life that would drive anyone crazy. Like, for instance, what if I called you lazy? I know you're working two jobs while trying to finish school, and tell me, how do you feel exactly? Who's the effing fool? Hello, stranger, she says to me with a very nasty attitude. Said I, check yourself before you wreck yourself. You best adjust that attitude. Said she, so what's up? Let's hear the story. Let me guess, you flew over for an apology. Said I, you must be out of your crazy mind. I didn't fly on a plane named Love is Blind. I could have easily called you and said it on the phone. So you just came here to do what? Make me moan and groan? Listen, we both had affairs. I admitted mine. Had feelings involved, but you turned Linda Blair as your freaking head revolved. Then what you spewed, those mean-spirited green vile things, the words filed on divorce papers made me toss our wedding rings. An adulterer, really? Yes, we both were, and that's true. Mad because I made love to her, and what? Just only screwed you? Really, she says. Oh, like how you only just did to me now. I grabbed her and asked, did we screw or really make love just now? 2 hours later, we're lying covered in sweat like before. Then suddenly there's a tremendous bang on the door. Said she, panicking, holy shit, it's my boyfriend. I said, unholy shit, you've got a boyfriend? We both laugh, a moment made from bitter, sweet sweat. It was fornication, perspiration, then I hid. So there won't be any regret. Do you want to know the meaning of a real heartache pain? I was there while they did it, my tears of blood pouring like the rain. This was the worst, the lost love knife through my heart. Said he, who's the man? I bet he never tore you apart. The closet door was open, and we made eye contact. And she said, his love always made the better impact. I could clearly see the tears were cruelly running down her lying, cheating face. We were coldly connected, united by separate hurt, frozen in love's time and space. Said he, glad I'm home early. I never made love to you until you cried. After hearing that, the devil in me hugged the angel, and we all just died. For if the devil in me had not cared, he would have become quite revengefully upset. And this poem's title would have been Forgive and Forget, a prison cell regret. With fingers in my ears, I try not to hear their truth or lies, as each in turn makes passionate moans and sighs. We shut our eyes, too, sank to the floor, and just sailed away to a place, any place, just not there on that day. We now hold on tight, no words said, just held each other and cried. And then finally she says, you're the only one. I hope you know that. That's why I lied. I, in turn, could say the same of you. Yes, but I just slept around. You made love to that bitch, whereas I only screwed around. Maybe I shouldn't have come. Please use the rear door and jump the fence. Yeah, just like I did before. Now that makes sense. I jumped the neighbor's fence and cut through the alley. It was on the sidewalk. He's coming my way. And the devil in me said, let's give him a talk. But the angel in me returned the favor for the time the devil showed compassion. So we just let it go, rather than wickedly act on a moment's aggression. Therefore, when it all comes down to trust, everything else is a total bust. As I sat in a cab, eagerly on my way to the airport, this incredible dream was my one and only thought. The day finally came. We haven't seen each other in years. She knows me, and I know her, but we haven't spoken in years. I know it's just a dream, as well as a warning, so I'm not really that upset, because I saw how it plays out, to forgive and forget, not revenge and regret. End poem. Whew, Pam, I need to go get a drink, so I'm going to put you on commenting, and I'll be right back.
Sure, no problem. Well, first of all, great read there, Faisy. I really like also the background picture he's chosen for this with the angel and the devil in a sensual embrace. It works really well with the show, and it works really well with the theme of the poem. Really an excellent story write, although for some, he says a story write, but for many people it's a cold, cruel reality of love. And I like how this has a dark humor throughout it. An excellent, it's like looking at a scene from a movie or a book with that love-hate relationship, and that relationship that falls apart where both people are to blame, which, you know, I like that he points that out through the right, through the characters, that no one person is to blame 100% when a relationship falls apart. There's some really great lines throughout. But I like how he takes us through these two characters. And especially with the narrative character, and where he says, this is no joyride at 100 under her undo her safety belt, and if the shit most certainly hits the fan, push her out the car and run her ass over, man. Oh, the thoughts that go through your one's heartbroken mind. And that is so true. I think even though, you know, we might not always want to admit it, but, you know, I will. I'll admit it. You know, there's just some, when you're heartbroken, when you're hurt, there are those thoughts of revenge or those thoughts of just, you know, hurting the person physically the way they hurt you emotionally. And I really also liked when he said she, so what's up? Let's hear the story. Let me guess. You flew over for an apology. Said I, you must be out of your crazy mind. I didn't fly on a plane named Love is Blind. Again, wonderful dark sense of humor. The back and forth in this, the idea that they ended up in bed together, and then he's hiding in the closet, which, you know, he's so vivid with this, like not vulgar, but so vivid with the lines that you can just picture this all happening. With fingers in my ears, I try not to hear their truth or lies as each in turn make passionate moans and sighs. We shut our eyes too, sink to the floor and just sailed away to a place anywhere, not just there on that day. And great lines on the idea that those who play the game of cheating often find themselves getting betrayed by the partners they cheated with. Or, you know, like you, if you get into a relationship with somebody and who is cheating on their significant other, there's a pretty good chance eventually they're going to cheat on you. So great lines and very well done. And are you back, Phoebe?
I am, thank you. I really enjoyed that, but it was a mouthful. It was a long one. Oh my God, innuendo. Okay, just heard myself say that. phrasing. Yes. So. He was funny with this. You know, it was sad and it was dark, but it also had a lot of humor in it. It really did. When he's talking about her being like in The Exorcist with your head rolling around, Linda Blair. There is like the karma of the person who was the I was going to say mistress, but it's the man. What's the man version of that? The guy who was cheated with, getting cheated on. There should be. That's so sexist that there's not a other word that the... Or
yeah, you would think there would be.
Yeah.
Huh.
There's got to be. I'm going to look that up. What is the equivalent of mistress?
There's got to be. There's got to be. I mean, because master just doesn't work.
No, because that sounds powerful. No.
It does.
There's got to be. I mean, I guess maybe. No. Okay. I'm just not going to spiral off into that. But I'm like, that could take me down a road. It was kind of funny, though, because I'm reading this out loud, and then my husband gets home from the store, and he walks in, and I'm like, and the divorce paper. He kind of looks at me like, huh? I mean, it only took him a second to realize I was reading a submitted poem out loud, but it was just the timing of it. I was like, that's awkward. So it was enjoyable. I didn't fully get to process it because I was in the process of reading it. I think that it would be really fun as a two-person skit. I can just imagine it like on stage.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Three people, because
seeing
the guy in the closet would be a funny part of it. So you gotta have that.
Yep.
All right.
Totally,
it's your turn to read. Yes, right? I can't picture. It's just, I think it would be really funny on stage. So you get to read the one by Stacy Gal.
All right. Forgive Me by Stacy Gal. Soaring higher than the sun and stars, my heart is cold. I feel nothing in my soul. Dark shadows chase me, even in my sleep. Blackness is all around me. Dear God, please forgive me. Forgive me for what I have done. Forgive me for what I will do. My life I know is a wreck. I do things that do not make you proud. I know serving you is the right thing to do, but my demons always seem to bring me back to my unwanted sins. Please give me strength to live in the path you lead me, but dear Jesus, I don't know if I can. End poem.
No, I think this is vulnerable and has a lot of, like, honesty in it because, you know, it's hard to stay on the track even if you know where you think that what you think that you should be doing. You know, there is temptation and nobody is perfect. And I think that recognizing that you've made mistakes and hoping that you are able to stay on a better path is a vulnerable and an honest thing, and I appreciate that in a poem.
I like that, Daisy, because, yeah, you can definitely see the vulnerability in this. So I think that was a perfect way to describe this poem. And there is a raw sense of honesty to it, some really great rhyme. I also like how there's this acknowledgement of one's life falling apart. My life, I know, is a wreck, and you know, the idea of and saying, please give me strength to live in the path you lead me. It's difficult to walk a path that, you know, especially like when you're dealing with a past, and to walk that path of being a good person. When you know you, like all people, we struggle with imperfections. We struggle with a past. So great write and very well done.
And now I get another long one. This is the way the time
is
going.
Yeah, what's up with that? Well, I'm not
right?
complaining.
We're now on to prompt two, and prompt two was, when the night is brighter than the light, I stand brighter than the sun. And this is called Godless Hell by Joe 726. Sides are chosen by the sideless on the edge of false pretense, watching from the wings of safety while the prophet hangs in suspense. On top of the once wild world, or watched above while under the dome. Evolution or creation are just more sides to divide the land that we all call home. A coin passed through greedy hands tells a tale of its lost face, fighting for unity through division inside a separate space. The four corners of a glass atlas break under force with fragility, while the curve of unbroken hope protect a halo around infinity. Flowers fight weeds out of instinct, believing they have the right to be wrong. The sun won't shine on us all at once, but its light won't leave for long. If you turn your back on lepers, it won't protect you from disease. And if your hands have only taken, you'll be forgiven on your knees. Don't be fooled by the glinting smile of an addict and shiny riches. Beneath the seamless satin, they wear braille contracts of coarse stitches. There's nothing more holy than the war-torn sail that navigates morality. open to exposure, a magnetized compass spins away from clarity. The world has always been heartless, but it never belonged to the shameless. But in the middle of a sideless war, angels and devils are neither blameless. End poem.
Great, Ruth Baby. Wonderful poem. I really like the imagery and the metaphors in this and the rhyme. I like how, to me, it speaks on how so much division is created in this world, especially when it comes to our ideas of good and bad, and the religions offered up, and how, you know, we need to stop necessarily, we need to stop creating that division. I really like the imagery of the four corners of a glass atlas break under force with fragility, while the curve of unbroken hope protects the halo around infinity. That idea that the world is falling apart and in need of a light. I also like where near the end where it says, there's nothing more holy than the war-torn sail that navigates morality. Open to exposure, a magnetized compass spins away from clarity. This world has always been heartless, but it's never belonged to the shameless. You know, it's such a sad thing that we live in a world where there's so much cruelty, so much lack of morality, where one finds themselves spinning and lost. So excellent lines and very well done.
Yeah, I really liked the line, a coin passed through greedy hands tells a tale of its lost face, because I think that works in multiple levels. So when it says tale, it's written tale as in a story, but when you flip a coin, it also, you have the choice of heads or tails. So it made me think of tails as in that kind of tail. When it's talking about face, it could be like the heads of it. So you're flipping a coin, and you could go either way with your choices in life. But also, you know, the greed of money can make you lose your way, and the lost face makes me think of like the faceless corporation kind of things, where it's not person to person, and the more distance you are from a transaction, the less likely you are to care about your customers or whoever it is that you're dealing with, because that face-to-face interaction, that dealing with them personally, makes you see them as people, not just numbers, and that can be lost when your hands get too greedy. I really liked the part, there's nothing more holy than the war-torn sail that navigates morality, open to exposure, a magnetized compass spins away from clarity. That navigation and the whole kind of metaphor of being in the boat and trying to find your way, you know, having a compass that has been exposed to negativity, to whatever corruption, makes it so maybe your sense of direction in life has gotten thrown off. Okay. Just trying to think. But that was, I read it and I commented, so we're on to the next poem?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I was questioning myself for a minute there if I had given you a chance. I think I did. Okay. Prompt 3. The prompt is, my pen is my prodigy, but the son of a somber sword. And the first poem in response to that is by Blue Leader One, if you would read that for me.
Absolutely. This is Sperma Gutenberga by Blue Leader One. A drop of ink can A drop of ink can flink, can kink, can stink. A drop of ink can enter veins, arteries can enter brains, and flink and kink and stink. A drop of ink smokes red apples and drinks smoky whiskey, drops its pants at parties and passes out. A drop of ink can lounge, can flounce, can hold its flaccid blouse, and wink provocatively at passing girls. A drop of ink can die all dry and flaky, but is still remembered. A drop of ink can dance, can laugh, can flatulence. Didn't know that, did you? A drop of ink, so dark, so pure, so still, can speak volumes. End poem.
Excellent read. I like the fun use of rhyme that happens in a few places here, and the flink and the kink and the stink. there's definitely some alliteration happening with the pants. The parties passes out. It is quite raunchy with its discussion of the kink and the flaccid plus. it's playful with the flatulence. It's a very playful, whimsical piece. What did you think, Pam?
Playful and whimsical is a good way to describe this. Very intriguing. He takes us down a path I wouldn't expect to go with this prompt. You think of poetry as something serious, something that expresses, romantic love and all these feelings. And here he's showing us the opposite side of what poetry can be, of what ink can be. And I like the juxtaposition of a drop of ink so dark, so pure, so still, can speak volumes. To me, I like how he uses he uses humor to express the idea of that the words we use show who we truly are. So excellent write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. And this next one is by Xander. Shots by Xander. Throw them weak shots. I be letting them slide. Insecure ass, I've been letting you lie. Your homeboy called you cunning and sly. Go against me, I'd be watching you die. You make calls while I call the shots. It's a murder scene, go get the mops. It's playtime, bring out the props. Fall before me like the raindrops. Indirect shots, but wear the shoe if it fits. Stir up drama for the show, pass me the chips. Duck for safety, they all want a skinny dip. Top tier performance, now they want to give me tips. Cock the gun back, I blast the shots, seal them up like blood clots. Sat back, now they rushing for top spots. I put them to sleep, back in the cots. End poem.
Great read there, Faisy. Wow, I have to say that that has great rhyme and flow and hard-hitting lines. That must be somebody who is in your rap group. At least that would be my guess.
I don't recognize the name, but
oh, really? If they're not in a rap group, they should be. They definitely have the talent for it. And I especially like you make calls while I call the shots. It's a murder scene. Go get the mops. It's playtime. Bring out the props. Fall before me like the rain drops. You know, that actually kind of makes me think of a whole idea of a partnership that's kind of like Bonnie and Clyde, or the movie Natural Born Killers. It makes me think of the movie Natural Born Killers, and the idea that the need for violence and showmanship, and really interesting take on the prompt. And I like how it speaks on the idea of the weapons used in life, whether it's our words or guns or whatever it is. We all find our own weapon. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, it had a nice rhythm to it. I could see it being rapped for sure. I think it took the violence more literally than the prompt was intended, but it was put together with some skill. I will have to see if they are in the rap group and maybe change their name, because I can't keep up with everybody's name changes, or if I need to recruit them.
They are not in the rap group.
Ah. Wow.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. Perhaps an audition of sorts. I want to hear them out loud. I say as someone who can't rap out loud. but I should encourage them. I'm the cheerleader, not necessarily the performer. Alrighty. Our next one is by Peter Soleil. To the same prompt.
All right. And this is Son of a Somber Sword by Peter Soleil. Wordsmith to brag of literate genes, wife keen, son of somber sword, pen is surely mighty. Medieval craftsman with heart on, humor forsaken, pre-Freudian knowing what's to come. Oedipus, excited by mother's opening, drawbridge to the village, gossip of women. What a firm weapon he'll let any lass handle to mumble a mouthful. Not him, somber sword for a father-in-law, glum as spat nicotine. Medieval sperm, laws of circumcised parents, filling in the gaps. Excited son of wordsmith, naturally an optimist. Better than a fountain in Royal Chipmunk Park. A naked Diana hunting for rabbit, head down, deep in the humid dark. And gossip has it not once but twice, like Bach after concert. Fans lining up for tomorrow night. Son of somber sword, talk of midlife contest. Middle-aged housewives to confess. Full of medieval hormones, wanton dreams of flag erecting. Maypole dancing, husband throat slitting. Oh, to worship such patient script. Latin to cream, witches burn. Dante cry, it's done. Oh, John, the wordsmith's son, born with such a gong, sound out any caverns of wombs, flood all reticent tombs, cafe vans near historic entrance, sweep off tiny feet, Asian schoolgirls urinating on rice paper, history of paddles, urish if your game, feathered and dressed, son of SS collaborating against the British, Catholic Maries, all blessed cocklickers, slip a stick of dynamite up behind, will son of Sodom now not looking, luck of mad maiden, dry fuse exposed to flint light, God far away with the Romans. But such progeny with firm convictions, airports to come, property to invest in, a la a worthwhile Yankee dollar, son of Somber to prime his gun, launch a cannon, civil and uncivil wars to come, easier said than done, noting John again, no man an island, let alone industrial realism, factories of Dickens, traffic non-stopping, God of restraint blind, future a hit and run, no all poet stopping, gloating such damage, no mocking, a fine lad from Delhi, end poem.
Oh, Peter Salway, Peter Salway, Peter Salway. I had a good laugh at Oedipus excited by his mother's opening. if you don't understand that, well, listen, watch the play, read the play. He'll let any lass handle his firm weapon. There's just so many great moments in this. The royal chipmunk, head down in the deep, humid dark. Oh, my God. There are so many fun kind of mythology references in this. The more modern stuff, I think I find more difficult, just because it's too real, he does not hold back. There's so much in here that it's hard to break it down, but he has quite the sense of humor and his unique style, and you always know it's going to be fun, but densely put together. So you got to really think about it, and he doesn't disappoint. Good job, Mr. Salway.
Absolutely. And I've never read that play or seen it, but I will say I did recognize the reference, just because I think I had either read, I had read about it, you know what I mean, like to where I knew the reference. There definitely is a lot of great wordplay and edgy, hard-hitting lines, a twisted and dark sense of humor. And I like how he compares the idea of both the gun and or the sword and the pen represent being a phallic representation of one's power, let's see. I like the reference to the goddess Diana, a naked Diana hunting for rabbits, head down deep in the humid dark. And gossip has it, not once but twice, like Bach after concert, fans lining up for tomorrow night. Clever reference to Bach and his love life, but also the idea that even in modern times, the musicians have their groupies and fans that go after them. So really an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
I feel like groupies is a timeless thing that, you know, it happened at the very first music and it will always be a thing.
Yep. Yep, I have to agree.
All right, so we are now on to the next prompt, which is they're in love with your hate and hate to see you in love. And The first poem is Hate by Divya, 1912. Just might be the most powerful of emotions. It strums the strings of your heart, beating in rhythmic waves of utter despise, the gushing emotion seeping into your soul, spewing through cracks and crevices once filled with light, painted black, not a speck of hope in sight. Apathy lacks where brooding misery lies, where hate thrives, love in all its gentle grace dies. And poem.
Great read, Faizy, and always wonderful to see a new name. I haven't seen the name Divya 1912 before, and I'm glad they were inspired, and I hope they're inspired more for future shows. And I like that opening line, the opening line, hate, and how the title leads into it. Hate just might be the most powerful of emotions. It strums the strings of your heart, beating in rhythmic waves of utter despise. And the ironic thing is, I've also heard it said that love is the most powerful of emotions. And how intriguing and how true that such opposite extremes are those emotions with which most affect our heart, which most affect how we treat people and how we treat ourselves. I also like the imagery, the visceral imagery of the gushing emotion seeping into your soul, spewing through cracks and crevices, once filled with light. Wonderful lines on the idea that when we get those cracks and crevices, they can either end up being filled with darkness or light. When we get our hearts broken, we can go in one of two extreme directions. So amazing write and very well done.
No, I agree. It's interesting how those opposite emotions do make you feel the strongest. And, you know, that's when things are polarized, it's like the extremes, and love and hate are definitely polar opposites, and yet often love can become hate, and it's because you feel so strongly that when it goes badly, you still have strong feelings that have to go somewhere. I like it beating in rhythmic waves of utter despise. Because, you know, when you're so angry, you can, like, hear it in your ears, that the blood pressure go up. And, you know, things like grief come in waves. And I think hatred is something that is usually, in some ways, inspired by sadness, by fear. So like any of those big emotions, it makes sense for it to come in waves because you hate that someone's making you feel that way. So for it to be in waves makes me think about all emotions kind of being like the tides. And then for it to be spewing through cracks and crevices just makes me think of like lava, the magma coming out and becoming lava around a volcano, which works with hate because with anger it tends to be explosive, and that just it's a really good visual for that, and love in all its gentle graces dies, and yet. Sometimes love can make hate die. So it's really fascinating to me. And I feel like this really only focused on half of the prompt, but it did that half really well. Our next poem is by Jesna Sajan, The Anatomy of Melancholy. Would you please read that one for me, Pam?
Absolutely. The Anatomy of Melancholy by Jesna Sajan. musing in my world of metered devices, alone to this earth, alone I leave a known space, musing a folklore of wild imagination. Here I go, building unlimited spheres of dreams. Musing do I with creative blockages. Fear is my kin, sorrow is my friend. I please my shadows, lest he dies. I perish with him or her, time never buys. I was born with fear, tears, and spears. People who smile once throw nameless despairs. Time and my age are parallel twigs, tidings and tings, up and down swings. The words from my mouth are sweet and bitter. I cannot promise it melts like butter. The flower does not stay the same always. Pest, mold, fungus grows as it decays. Impulsive am I, the spur on the moment. Regret of my wrongdoings, laments and dents. Perfectionism draws on my strings. People I meet on my mind, it clings. Egos or ethos, superegos and amigos. I am a multi-branded sponge of multi-faced foes. I collect what others want me to be, yet my melancholy is what I cannot see. Time does not tarry, and it's scary. People leave me or love me, blurry. My thoughts are fuzzy, cannot understand. Camouflage, are they colors of a band? My garden of roses are withered with thorns. Once it was a paddy field with rice and corns. I grew my mind with aspirations and dreams, butterscotch chocolate whipped up creams. Fears and sorrows gripped my night, falling from heights, skies ending in fight. Long to climb mountains, hills, and plains, feel the blue sky, flowing breeze and rain. When one misery sought me, I muse on several. My crown becomes heavy, burdened with peril. Sigh do I, sit alone, talking. I leave everyone, do the walking. A few hours later, draw myself to a close. My melancholy leaves and joy enclose. I fell lighter, less burdened, light as a feather. My melancholy changes tides, just like the weather. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you. Jasmine uses so many interesting metaphors and similes in here. There's food, there's weather, there's all different kinds of, like, materials, the pests and mold and fungus, the things that grow with decay. I thought those were good choices of words right there. I like the fear is my kin. It's family to her. It's something that she grew up with. I think that's a really good way of saying that. And then sorrow, my friend. The perfectionism draws on my strings is something that I really liked. And the draws on my strings made me picture her as like a marionette. And it's like she has this need to be perfect. So she's very like stiff and upright, and her movements are like just very rigid and just trying to do exactly what she's supposed to do rather than enjoying it, which is contrasted with at the end when she flows and she's like a feather. So that's when she escapes, I think, those strings trying to be perfect that made her so sad. That camouflaging part where there's a few times where she talks about she's trying to be what everyone else wants her to be. And at one point she actually says, camouflage are they colors of a band. So trying to be someone else, she ends up being blurry and not knowing who she really is. It's just, it's too much. It's overwhelming. And she has that sadness. But when she lets herself be, then she's lighter, less burdened, and she can flow away. You know, it's a very sad piece, but it's really creative in the way that it's put together. So it was enjoyable to hear.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I like how the imagery and the metaphors in this, and how she speaks on those things which destroy, but also speaks on those things that lift us up, like using the folklore of wild imagination, here I go building unlimited spheres of dreams. What wonderful lines that speak on that idea of lifting ourselves up with the dreams and hopes that we have. I did like the reference to the bugs and the mold that goes into the flower, because for many people, you know, flowers are a very important part of their cooking, and you constantly have to keep it covered and you constantly have to keep it guarded, you know, just like you have to keep your own mind guarded. Really just, you know, great emotional references to the ups and downs of life, the way melancholy can grip a hold of us, but then the next moment we can find some sort of joy. And I like also how she references that the same blue sky can bring us those gentle breezes and sunshine, but also the rains. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
When you were saying, like, the same blue sky, it made me think about, like, how that same sun can be affect different people in different ways. Like, everyone will be like, oh, it's so sunny, isn't it, like, the most wonderful thing ever? And because I usually, like, very often have headaches and I'm, like, cringing away from the sun like a vampire. I was doing that today, as I do. And it made me think about your son's drawing that you had in that contest where the sun had, like, a mean face. And I told my husband about it. I'm like, you know which one I mean?
yep, exactly. Yep. Like, it looked like the sun was, like, ready to bite everything and everyone.
Yes. I said, I bet the sun was really bothering him right then. And my husband was like, yeah, it was probably, like, in his eyes. Or like,
yeah. Yep. And I get that. I, too, am really sensitive, especially if the sun gets too warm, and my sister is, too. So, yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah, so I was thinking of your son today as I was my hermit vampire self. our last poem to that prompt is by Ben Hart. And this is another long one, I'm assuming, because it usually is from him. But I will read it. He has these beautiful short lines that make it feel not so long. Okay. Where the Light Ends by Ben Hart. Lover, you are late to me. Buried, another angel of death. I had mislabeled as empathy, falling through me, collapsing my body to slow their descent. Or maybe just be buried in it. Shouldn't have surprised me that no one ever really understood the other person in the room. Because everything that sadness ever promised to be love had always been just another wound. I just didn't see it coming this time. I took the absence of anxiety to mean reprieve, not the silence before the rhyme, survival. It's not exactly fair for you to think of me only as a man of misery. Sometimes I want. Sometimes I dream. Sometimes I let slip a smile And only after it dies did I realize it was genuine. Sometimes the fact I can't is so evident, I scream. And I can see why you treat me this way, because I treat me this way. But no one's ever fought as hard for my survival as I have. And you didn't stop to think what you were risking when you said those things, because you only ever wanted the mask, never the man. And that I cannot understand. Nightfall. They say the night pushes out the day, but here she encircles her prey to suffocate it. And they say the closing of the divine eye helps it dream of pearlescent weeds and the fields of black perfect. But I've spent my whole life staring through those clefts in mine in time, only to learn that we ourselves decide where the light ends. That they can snuff out the stars but cannot keep us all from rising towards light's crushing absence, towards ourselves shining in the dark. Sam, what if I do not know what I started numbing myself against, only what I am? Then you're ahead of the curve, dear. It's not on the cards. Not in the stars. It's all over the floor. I don't think it will heal this time. Screaming. We are here without answer. We are here, the gods of nothing but loss, rubble and dust. We are here, still on the opposite sides of the eye, weeping fire. We are here just to watch it die and bask in the daylight, gathering just below our cold horizon. Here, I lock myself away from this world. They would call it ironic, maybe, that I hide from their eyes to reach out. But what I've built in their blindness, it speaks for itself. It just doesn't speak to them. Sam, too. Sam? Yes, love? Are you okay? Are you? She left you, too. And I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me, but I'd hate it if you were hurting in silence because of it. I promise you I wouldn't put you through that again. The difference is you and I can hurt each other, scream every awful thing at each other until nothing remains but love, pain, and the places they entwine. And in the end, it will leave us closer together. But I think you let the rest of the world hurt you, because you say you can take it, only to turn around and hate them for it. I think that's what happened here. I think you're still holding them accountable for the mistakes of the dead, because they threw your love back. I understand why that makes you burn inside. It's maybe your most human quality. It's also killing you. Being human, you mean? No. Loving like one. Dust. Those that hope has passed by will don the cloak of fool, cast their eyes across the streets and believe it was weakness, that neon green exit sign behind their eyes. It's not weakness. We built the wall, and we put the door in. I think it's time, however, I find a substitute for suicide as a plan B. Promise. I know some part of you wishes I just drowned there, like I promised, in that infinity of numb. Well, so did a part of me, and so a part of me did. I thought at least the rest of you would say, well done, and welcome home. Peace. I was wrong to see you as such a capable destruction, and I'm still standing here. Rebirth. The spores lift themselves across the fields. Veins meet to weave webs in sky, to catch the golden moth, a perfect narcissist. And all our lives still like ospreys in the wind, to watch life itself in transit, except hers. Hers knows no way station, only motion, only the call of a mycelium halo in search of lost angels. End poem.
Great read there, Faisy. Wonderful write, as always, by Ben, who has such powerful and emotive lines and brilliant imagery and metaphors. I found it really intriguing how his format changed in the Sam 2 part of the vignette, as if all of a sudden there was, it, like putting the words closer together felt almost like a need for a more deeper personal conversation. An amazing write that speaks to me on, you know, love and rejection, heartbreak, and the idea of not being accepted for who we are. I know he has that one part about the wearing the mask, and also this, we're in the survival part where it says, it's not exactly fair for you to think of me only as a man of misery. I like those lines because I think for many of us that's relatable, because people, we tend to label each other and we tend to put those labels in such a way that, you know, that's all the person ever is to us. You know, like we'll have the one we call like the fun friend or, you know, the serious friend and, you know, but there's not a person is never one thing at all times. An amazing vignette throughout. But I also liked, what if I do not know what I start numbing myself against, only what I am, then you're ahead of the curve, dear. Really thoughtful lines on how sometimes we have to figure out what it is that we're not willing to face. And when we ask ourselves that question, what is it I'm not willing to face, then we've gotten further than most people. So excellent write and very well done.
You know, I like what you said about, like, you know, we have the fun friend and the serious friend. But, yeah, the serious friend needs times where they can have fun. And the fun friend needs times where they can be serious. So we do have to, you know, not pigeonhole people too much, even if they have a certain, like, way that they tend to be. I like the way you said that. The part that hit me at first was, sometimes I let slip a smile and only after it dies I realize it was genuine. Because it's like you're used to like kind of like having to put it on when people ask how you are, and it's like, good. And occasionally you mean it and you're like, holy shit, that wasn't even pretend. Like, but that shows that you've been going through a rough time when you surprise yourself by meaning it. And I really liked the part about the mask too, which you mentioned. You only ever wanted the mask, never the man. And I think that's true in a lot of situations. You know, people, especially in like kind of early on in relationships, sometimes they create this fake ideal of you, and they want the idea of you, not the real you. They want the version of you they have up on this little pedestal that you've, you know, kind of put on at the beginning because you're trying to seem good. And it's like, I can't keep that up forever. Eventually you have to let your gut out, so to speak. You know? Can't hold your breath the whole time. Putting down that mask and being real with someone and not having them want that truth is really hard. I like the night encircling her prey to suffocate it. And I do think that's partly because of where he lives, because it's, if I'm picturing it correctly, it's so far north that, it's not a simple, like, the sun rises here and goes down here. It's the view of it is different. I might just be pulling that out of my ass. I'm picturing the scene in like, I can't even explain it, but I'm probably just making this up. But I like the way that he describes it as encircling her prey. he's going to be like, what the hell are you talking about, Faith? But yes, I may have been drinking a slight amount because my husband handed me a drink halfway through the show. as my
thing.
Things make less. Mm-hmm. Blue raspberry lemonade.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. Blue raspberry is my favorite. And yeah, the conversation with Sam, I like that you pointed out how it changes to a different format. Now, having that, that part definitely like makes it stand out as different with a piece as long as his is, and they tend to be breaking up into the little bits. He definitely does change it. Sometimes it's all double spaced. Sometimes it's single spaced, but in small stanzas. And then sometimes it's like that big chunk there. So it makes you pay attention to a perception shift, which is helpful. And when I'm reading out loud, I don't say all the numbers, but he does number the different sections. I'm never sure if I should say that. If I'm supposed to, then I'm sorry, Ben. Yeah, I loved it. I basically always love Ben's work. I don't think I've ever read something and been like, nah. That just doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah, I never read the numbers either. I know some people do when they're reading a vignette, but I just don't, because I feel with an already long poem, it just takes up more time. So
it does, and he puts the little titles in there, so I just say the little title, and that kind of, like, separates it up in my mind.
Yep.
I think. I don't know. I've never actually written in vignettes, and it appeals to me, but I also need to, you know, do a little bit of reading about, like, how to properly do it, because I have a feeling that the thing that I'm imagining writing is not quite fitting into
it. Yeah, I never have either, just because I've never been able to quite connect it with my brain, because from what I understand, each part has to stand on its own and yet have a connection with the whole of the poem. And, of course, that's just the way I understand it. I could be wrong. And it seems to be a popular form, but it's one of those forms that I feel like is, you know, deceptive. Like, it sounds simple when you look at it and you read other people do it, but then when you try it yourself, that's not that I'm discouraging you from trying it. You should, because you might find it something you can do and really enjoy. I look at other people writing vignettes, and I'm just like, how the heck do you do this?
I'm sorry, I missed that last thing you said. What was that, Pam?
Oh, I said I encourage you to write vignettes, or try it at least, but
yeah.
You know, me personally, I just look at it and I'm just like, well, other people writing and I'm like, I don't know how you do this. It seems so simple, and yet
it's
not,
yeah,
for me.
I got to do a thing, because April's Poetry Month, isn't it? I think it is. I got to challenge myself.
Yes.
Once a week, I'm going to try a new style. This is my challenge.
Oh, that's
myself.
A cool idea. Yeah.
We'll see,
yeah,
we'll see if I live up to my challenge.
Yep.
You try. debating if I have time. Yeah, there's still 15 minutes. So that was the end of this contest. I did have another contest that was supposed to be for Double Helix, but it's been carried over like 4 times just because of life. So I think I might try to read some of those. And they were for a contest that was inspired by International Women's Day, and the art of Karen Hellion, who does pictures of historical women, famous women, female characters, and always puts a verb with them that's like the action that this lady had inspired. So one of the people who there was a picture of in the She series of art was Hedy Lamarr, and Oshini Creations chose that one as an inspiration. So would you read Oshini's poem for us, please, Pam?
Absolutely. Choose Ye This Day, inspired by Hedy Lamarr's life by Oshini Creations. In a world colored by the dictates of misogynistic voices that say to women, you are of no value, Hedy Lamarr chose to pursue a lifestyle defying those voices by creating innovations pregnant with great impact and high value. Where others would have said, those voices won't value me, so what's the sense of pursuing my passion? Where others would have said, I'll wait till those voices value me before I pursue my passion, Hedy Lamarr chose instead to dance to the beat of a different tune, a tune that says, I'll defy those voices and be a passionate innovator anyway. A tune that says, I will find a way to be a passionate innovator anyway. A tune that says, come what may, I'll be a passionate innovator anyway. That tune positioned her to create innovations that not only were greatly impactful during her time, but are also even now greatly creating impact in our time. Yes, her innovations are still greatly creating impact in our lifetime. So to everyone who has visions of becoming a passionate innovator, using your God-given talents to create impact and add value to this world, let Hedy Lamarr's life become a guiding pillar and testament to you that this journey is seasoned with obstacles. In her time, it was misogynistic voices. In your time, it may be something different, but it is up to you to choose ye this day the lifestyle you'll pursue. Will you, like Hedy Lamarr, choose to defy obstacles and passionately pursue creating your innovations? Or will you let obstacles defeat you, causing you to not pursue creating your innovations? End poem.
Thank you, Pam. I really appreciate the enthusiasm that Oshini put into this. You know, when I first did the contest, she had said that there were a lot of people she didn't recognize in the picture that were supposed to be inspirational figures. So she looked them up, and I absolutely loved her enthusiasm of like, oh, thank you, I didn't know about this person and this person. And I really liked how much she got out of it and how she felt inspired to learn about multiple people and then settled on, not settled as in like, okay, settled sounds like the wrong word. She decided to honor Hedy Lamarr and recognize that she, you know, went with her passion and didn't let her voice be missed. You know, she repeats passionate innovator, and she uses anyway quite a few times. And I think that's important because as a woman in Hedy Lamarr's time, it would have been difficult to get people to listen to you. And doing it anyway, despite the obstacles, despite not having the people paying attention to you would be really hard. And so I like that she kept putting anyway in there. And I like that in the end she challenges the reader to go and do things anyway, and that she acknowledges that maybe, you know, sexism isn't the thing that's holding you back in your generation, but there might be something that does. And so fight whatever that is. I think that makes this timeless by recognizing that, like, you know, the troubles change, but there's always something trying to hold someone back. And for those of you who may not know who Hedy Lamarr is, she was in her time most famous for being an actress because she was very beautiful and was a film star during Hollywood's golden age. But what she did that was more significant than that, at least in my opinion, was she invented technology that is the reason we can have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and GPS. She didn't quite do those things because those were developed much later, but her inventions made it possible to have those things. And she had a big impact on World War II because she found ways that they could communicate without the enemy hearing them. And over long distances. So she was quite the lady, and I'm happy that Oshimi is, you know, spreading the love for Hedy Lamarr. Thank you. 10 minutes left. Do you think we should squeeze one more in, Pam?
Sure, we can go ahead and do that.
All right. So this was also to that contest where we were looking at inspirational ladies, and this one. Okay, so it was that. Right, let's see if I can pronounce this properly. Tanatsin by Blue Leader One. Our great mother. We remember thee, remember thee. We remember thee, O great mother. O Tepeyac Hill, we wept. On Tepeyac Hill, we wept. We wept. We wept for thee. We wept for we, and I wept for me, patiently around the circle of fate. We turned and turned against the Gachupin until we turned our fate on Tepeyac. We rebuilt her temple. Our Tanatsin, patiently, thee turn and turn, the great brown mothers, under a fierce sun, under the Gachupin's guns. El grito de Dolores, new suns are being made, new lands, and new fates by our great brown mothers, the Tanatsin.
Great read there, Faisy. And I was trying to look up, there are several women named Tanatsin, but there is also that it says that Tanatsin is a Nahuatl title composed of to our mother. And when addressing Tanatsin directly, men use the suffix vocative, and I won't try to read this all, but basically it's a goddess or a reference to Mother Earth. While it is also a name, and it of a woman's name, it is of an ancient religion, a reference to a goddess or to Mother Earth. And so, you know, this definitely could be a specific woman, but it could be the idea, especially with the plural use of the great brown mothers, under a fierce sun. I feel like this pays honor and tribute to all women who, whether they're mothers or not, you know, offer up that sense of care and love to the world. And I really like the repetition in this. It has a lyrical-like quality that almost feels as if one is chanting. Our great mother, we remember thee, remember thee. We remember thee, O great mother. Wonderful, thoughtful lines throughout. And the reference to under a fierce sun, under the Gauchapin's guns, El Grito de Dolores, it's almost like, and I don't know enough about who he's writing about, so I can't say for sure, but I feel as if those lines right there reference a warrior that stood up against the enemy, that fought for her people. I definitely would like to know more, but unfortunately I don't, and that's the best I can do with what I know. Great write and very well done.
I looked up very quickly, so don't have like intense research or anything, the cry of Dolores, the Grito de Dolores, and it was September 1810 in the city, Dolores, Mexico. There was a priest who rang the church bell calling everyone to join together in rebellion, and that was the Mexican War of Independence.
Oh, okay. Well, that is really cool to know. Very cool.
So I'm thinking you were right about like the Mother Earth goddess, and it was like her people fought for her for the Aztec religion, or like for that culture, I think, to come together and have their own leadership. That I do not totally know, but that was my impression. I think you were on the right track with the Mother Earth thing, and it had Mexican roots, or like before Mexico was Mexico. It said like Aztec, and then to have this rebellion be called the Grito de Dolores, it makes me think like it's like about how people tried to stand up for that culture out of respect for that woman, and for all the women who worked hard in that culture, the brown women, it says. So, the brown mothers. I learned a lot. I did not know that one. That was not one of the women in the pictures that I showed, but I appreciate learning of a new female role model. So thank you for that. I will have to send those two a message saying that we ended up carrying over to this one because I didn't have a chance to read it on the other show. And Ben, yours will be carried over yet again, because I definitely don't have time in 2 minutes to read his entry to that contest, and I want to give it a proper amount of time. Thank you so much, Pam, for being here with me. You were wonderful.
Great show tonight,
thank you. Thank you. Partly because of you. At least half because of you. And fill my eyes for giving us this time to talk about poetry on the radio. And to everybody who wrote and shared your poetry, I will be posting new contests as soon as I judge my old ones, which will be hopefully tomorrow. See you soon.